אוקיי. פרשת ויחי, last we spoke, we continue with the הלכות of קדיש, and we spoke about the מנהג that certain עדות have to say רבנן, בן איש חי, justify that. Different קדישים that are said throughout the prayer, the תרגום of it, and we spoke also outside, we spoke about hefsekim, things that you get caught up in a minyan, that's answering in past classes. Now we're going to continue with halacha yud dalet in parashat vayechi. Katav hagaon chida b'shiurei beracha, siman sha'av. Lefi ma shekatav rabbeinu arizal, da kadish mu'il gam ken la'alot nishmato. The chida wrote, based on the works of the Arizal, that the Kaddish, when one says, Yitkadal v'kadash merabah, helps le'alot nishmato of the niftar, of the person they're saying it for. Nirah shiumar Kaddish kol 12 chodesh. The Chida says, you should say Kaddish for 12 months. Ela, mipnei ha'amon yafchit shavu acharon. But because it doesn't look good, so you should take off 1 week. We'll explain soon what it means that it doesn't look good. But you should say for 12 months after the passing away of the person he's saying for. כמו שכתב הרב כנסת הגדולה, דכיוון דחשו שלא ימרום משפט רשעים בגיהנום, 12 חודש, the רב כנסת הגדולה brings down that the רשעים are the only ones that are judged for 12 entire months. So if a person is saying Kaddish for 12 months, it's as if he's saying, it looks to the people as if he's saying that his family member, who the person he's saying Kaddish for, is a Rasha. And that is doesn't look good. So the Chida says, therefore, Ben Ish Chai is going to explain it also, that you shouldn't necessarily say for 12 entire months. Kol shemechaser min ha-12 chodesh, sagi. So long as you take away something from the 12 months, that's already considered enough. Meaning as they're not in shlemut, they're not in their entirety. Ad kan lashono. That is the lashon of the chida. Upo irenu Baghdad naagu bekach. And here in Baghdad, this is our minhag. Ubisiyum achal asar chodesh osim limud yoter volchim al hakever. And after 12 months, they do limud. They learn leilu nishmato. We'll see soon. We'll bring in some stories that are mind-boggling about how much connection there is between the tzetzaim, the offsprings, and the family members that are still that passed away in Shemaim. We'll see soon. We'll see a shocking story about this, about how realistic and how part of our life it really is. So after the 12 months saying Kaddish, they do a limud, and then they go to the grave, the kever of the person who passed away. V'kurim yom ze shana chasera. And they call it Shana Chasera. Uposkim achrei ze shavu echad, betchilat chodesh ha-shnei masar, in the beginning of the 12th month, they stop saying Kaddish for 1 week, for the reason that we said previously. So you don't say it in its entirety. V'agam da'arav zal katav deposkim b'shuvu acharon, even though the Chida says to stop at the end of the 12th month, and here the Ben Ish Chai is saying we're stopping in the beginning of the 12th month, shel chodesh echad asar, lo ichbat la. Excuse me, even though the Chida said you stop at the end of the 11th month, and here the Ben Ish Chai is saying you stop in the beginning of the 12th month, lo ichbat. Shezeh kol shevet, it does not consider a difference, and it's not considered a problem. V'kozeh lifsok min ha-kadishim shomrim ha-yitomim. And all this is in regard to the Kaddishim that the orphans say, Hen Kaddish Batra Niskar, Hen Shar Kaddishim, whether it's the Kaddish Batra that's said at the end of the prayer, or other Kaddishim that are said on learning. Sheminhag po yirenu sheyomru otam hayetomim. Aval Kaddish shachar alimud, sheomer kol adam, gam hem yamru. But the Kaddish that's said after learning, they can say it. So let's read again. V'chol zehu lifsok min ha-kadishim shomrim ha-yitomim. All this is in regards to the kadishim, that the specific kadishim that orphans say. Hen kadish batra niskar, the kadish that's said at the end of the prayer. Hen sh'ar kadishim. Sheminhag po yirenu shemru otam yitomim. Or other kadishim, that the minhag is that only the orphans say them. Aval kadish achar ha-limud, but the kadish that's after the learning, that's done after learning, that everybody can say, Shomer kol adam, gam hem yomu, they can also say this as well. Gam, furthermore, continues the Ben Ish Chai, Yesh minhag, po irenu, shimchal yom ayor tzait, be'emtza shavua, let's say the year of the passing, the date of the passing, again, we're going by the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, falls out in the middle of the week, matchilim ha'yitomim lomar kadishim milel Shabbat ha'kodem. They start saying the Kaddish already from Lel Shabbat, the previous Lel Shabbat. Dahainu mitfilat arbit shel Shabbat, ad sof mincha shel yom ha'yortzeit. They would start from Friday night until the mincha of the yortzeit, of the day. So if the yortzeit, the day, is on Wednesday, let's say they would start on Friday night, and the last Kaddish they would say would be mincha on Wednesday. That is how it's done for the. There's certain those that have that minhag. V'imchal yom ha'yortzeit b'yom Shabbat, and if it falls out on Shabbat, then what? Matchilin ma'arvit shel Shabbat ha'kodem. They start from arvit. Shabbat ha'kodem means the previous week. So they would be saying for a whole week from Friday night. V'omrim kol ha'shavua ad sof Shabbat sheniya shu yom ha'yortzeit, until the end of again mincha of the Your tight of Shabbat. Uminag ze uva b'shalmei tzibur, and this is brought down in Shalmei Tzibur, Amud Bet. Aval, misefer ha-kavanot nira lehedya. But from sefer ha-kavanot, seemingly it seems that the Arizal did not have this minhag. Shalai ha-rabbenu Arizal omer kadish al aviv. The Arizal did not say kadish on his father, el rak b'yom echad shal ha-yor tzait. He would only say on that specific day. So the Ben Ish Chai brings a minhag to say for a week, or the starting the week, depending on how it falls out. But it says the Arizal would say only on that day. Balaylo vayom, at night, the previous night and the day. Veda, ki mashma'ut yor tzait. What does yor tzait mean? Hu yom ha-petira, belashon Ashkenaz. In Yiddish, it's called yor tzait. The time of the day. Vegam ha-sfaradim ruglu likro oto b'shem ze b'sifrahem. Even the Sfaradim, says the Ben Ish Chai, says that we also have a minhag to call it, not minhag, this is also widespread, they call it yor tzait. And there's no other scary meaning about it behind it. I guess they had some type of, they thought it stood for something else. People made up some stuff. Ben Ish Chai says, no, it's just a word in Yiddish, that's all. Don't get too scared. Kmo shechoshvin haolam, like people think that it has some type of deep meaning to it. Halacha tetvav. Binyan haniftar belo zera. What about a person who passes away without anybody to say Kaddish on them? Or there's nobody, or he has people to say Kaddish, but they're not saying Kaddish. Or shebno katan, or the youngest person capable of saying Kaddish, is a child, the person saying Kaddish, that's capable of saying Kaddish is a child. V'sochrim echad shumar b'avro Kaddish. And they rent someone, they actually pay someone to say Kaddish. Nish'aldi b'sifri ha-katan rav palim, imahani b'kahay gavna. If this works, says the Ben Ish Chai, can you actually pay someone to say Kaddish? Or is it specifically a family member? I wrote there, Shuvav Bet Yosef, Besof Chelek Yore De'ah, Mashma Shaya Lehem Minhag Kadmon. They did have a Minhag, Liskor Adam Lomar Kaddish, Bishwi Nefesh Haniftar. They did have such a Minhag to rent someone, to pay someone, to say Kaddish for someone who passed away. The Ben Ish Chai found a source from it, from the Bet Yosef. V'chen Muchach Nami Mitshuvot Mari Kolon, Shorosh Mem Dalet. V'chulei. Ayen sefer chayim biyad, ma shekatav tam leminhag ir ve'em b'Yisrael izmir, liten kadish batra shomrim kodem alenu shabach. Look at the sefer chayim biyad to give you a reason as to why they say kadish batra before alenu shabach, meaning the kadish that's stated before alenu shabach, la'arav ha'moreh sheba'ir, ayen sham. ובספר כסה אליהו, דפוס קרטה קדיש הירושלים, there's another sefer called כסה אליהו, תיבנה ותיקונן, כתב, בתיקון של תענית, Yavi acherim litanot imo. Seemingly, there are those that had a minhag to fast on the day. They say you should include other people as well. Veketavti shalkol panim zeh omer kaddish ba'ad metim zarim imeno. Someone who's saying kaddish for someone that's not his family member, yomar kol yom besof hayom bakasha zu. He has a nosach. If a person is saying kaddish for someone else, you're permitted to, not me'akev. The only thing a person has to do, it's brought down the poskim, if he's saying Kaddish with someone else, is if his parents are alive, he has to ask them for permission. Because he's saying Kaddish Yatom, an orphan's Kaddish, and his parents are still alive. So it doesn't look nice. It doesn't look good. It looks a little odd. So he has to ask them for permission first. בקשה הזאת. בן ישחי says, someone who's saying Kaddish Rasulullah should say this בקשה. יהי רצון מפניך שתחוס ותחמול ותרחם ברוב רחמך וחסדיך הנפש רוח הנשמה של פלוני בן פלוני. It should be your will that you should have mercy on the nefesh רוח הנשמה of this person. ולמען הקדישים שאמרתי אני עבדך היום, and the קדישים that I say today, תבטל כל המקטרגים המסתינים. You should nullify any of the angels that harbor him. ויעמדו מליצי יושר להמליץ טוב על נפשו רוחו ונשמתו, and the angels should speak and they should bring before you good deeds that he did. ותלווה עליהם השלום וישבו במנוחת שלום השקט ובטח, ותגביר חסדך על מידת הדין, and you should have more mercy on him than judgment. ויתמתקו הגבורות הקשות על ידי פלא העליון שהוא חסדים גדולים ורחמים גמורים. יש תפילה, you should say beforehand, seemingly what the Ben Ish Chai seems to be saying is that when a person is a family member, this happens on its own. But if he's a ben adam zar, if he's foreign to this person, so then he has to sort of place the Kaddish and the influence that it has in the right place. Let's proceed with Halakha Tet Zayin. בספרי הקטן רב פעלים נשאלתי, I was asked in my ספר רב פעלים, בארבעה או חמישה שאומרים קדיש ביחד, 4 or 5 people that are saying קדיש together, ואחד מהם קולו נמוך. You have 4 or 5 people that are saying קדיש together, and one person's voice is a little lower than everyone else's. ששום אחד מן הציבור אינו שומע קולו. No one hears his voice. So now, who's answering to him if no one hears his voice? אי צריך לממר קדיש עם אותם המורים קדיש. שהציבור שומעים קולם בלבד. If you have to answer only to those that the congregation hears. והבאתי שם דברי הרב אמת ליעקב, במשפט הברכות לעולין לספר תורה. גם הבאתי דברי הרב בניין ציון, שפיפק בזה. והבאתי עוד עדות הרב הגאון החסיד מרא מני, במנהג החסידים בבית אל, שהחזן הוא האומר את הקדיש בכוונות. You have a situation, says the Ben Ish Chai, what to do about a person who nobody hears him clearly? What should be done about that? So he says, he brings a ra'aya, a proof, from Rav Mani. Rav Mani was Rosh Shiva of the Shiva here in Yerushalayim, Yeshivat HaMekubalim of Bet El. And the Ben Ish Chai constantly would write back and forth with him to know what the minhag, what the source is. Because again, Yerushalayim, Mitzion Tetzeh Torah, that's the source of all the minhagim. That's where the most authentic minhagim were. So he would always write to him and say, what do you do here in Yerushalayim? And that's how the Ben Ish Chai a lot of times would act, or try to act. So this is what happens. They have a chazan that's praying al kavanot. Now kavanot, again, if you've gone to a mekubalim minyan, you see that the mekubalim, they have, their mincha sidur, it looks like the thickest part of your encyclopedia. Like the letter W or something, you know, one of those thick, monstrous ones that just doesn't stop with more things that are listed in the W's. So they have their mincha, it's very thick, because they pray Akipi Kavanot. Every name, every word has another concept that they concentrate on. Mincha there, if you think they pray here for a long time in yeshiva, you should go see mincha over there. Mincha there could take an hour and 15 minutes. Something that usually takes 20 minutes. Half, you know, 20 minutes regular. They pray api kavanot. So what happens is, the kaddish is also said with kavanot. We're not going to get into the whole concept of kavanot, yichudim. It's basically, if you want to call it a format, a way of making the Almighty's name one through tefillah. And it's a very deep concept. You should go see it just to see such a thing exists. For us Western boys, it's a little foreign. So now, they have a chazan who prays Kaddish with kavanot. So it takes him a while to say the Kaddish. V'im yesh echad min ha-tzibur sheyesh lo yortzeit, somebody from the congregation has a yortzeit, ורוצה לומר Kaddish, he also wants to say Kaddish. יאמר בלחש, he should say quietly, כדי שלא יערבב הכוונה של החזן. He should say quietly, says Rav Mani, so nobody hears him, so he doesn't interrupt with the chazan. So what do you see? You see from here that if someone's saying it quietly, it still counts as saying Kaddish. גם העיד שבספר פתח תביר הנחידה, גם כן כתב, זה לא אכפת בכך. It's not a problem if one person is saying it quietly. ועם כל זה, אליתי לכתחילה, לא יעשו כן. Nevertheless, says the Ben Ish Chai, even though a person who's saying it quietly and doesn't have necessarily people that are answering him, is okay, right, in the situation that we spoke about. We have four or five people that are saying it out loud, and the congregation's answering them, and there's one person who's saying it low, nobody's answering him, it's still okay, says the Ben Ish Chai. Even though you can do that, it's not the best situation. Ben Ish Chai says, this that we found by Rav Mani is for the simple reason that there was nothing else that could be done. Od nishalti sham. Furthermore, I was asked in my sefer, Rav Pa'alim, ba'asara shelamdu tehilim, ve'rotzim kulam lomar kaddish. What about a situation where you have 10 people saying Kaddish? You have 10 people in the Minyan and they're all saying Kaddish and there's nobody answering. She'en shum echad oneh. Now what do you do? Ve'eveti divrei Rav bnei Yehuda, ha'ish ve'erachti k'tzat b'zeh, ve'eleti, and I wrote down, lechatchila yizaru liyot echad oneh lahem ha'kaddish. You should try that there should be at least one answering, but you understand clearly from the Ben Ish Chai that if everybody wants to say Kaddish, then they could all say Kaddish. They're all saying Kaddish at once, even though nobody's answering. A similar halacha we have in the Gabei Birkat Kohanim. We'll see Be'ezat Hashem later on when we get to the halachot of Birkat Kohanim. If you have a minyan of only Kohanim, and you have 10 Kohanim up there on the Dukhan, so who are they making? Yivarecha Hashem Vishvarecha. Who are you blessing exactly? There's nobody left in the room. But the halacha brings down, Mevarchim et achim shebasadeh. They're blessing their brothers that are outside. So all 10 of them would say Birkat Kohanim. So here too as well, the Ben Ish Chai says, when it comes to Kaddish, lechatchila, they should have somebody to say to. But even if not, again, like we said, any time there are 10 people together, nitkadashti b'toch adat b'nei Yisrael, as we spoke in the introduction, that already constitutes a place where the Shekhinah rests. Whenever there are 10 people, 10 Jews in a room, that already constitutes a place where the Shekhinah rests. Now we're going to do. So we're going to continue talking about the Ben Ish Chai on Yortzeit. We finished the Parshat Vayechi. Now I'm going to bring in Shelot V'Tshuvot that he has in Rav Pa'alim. In Rav Pa'alim, he has in it in Chelek Dale, the kuntos is called Sod Yesharim. Very interesting kuntos. He talks about all kinds of questions that are a little bit more on the spiritual side. Questions that have to do a lot with Kabbalah and topics like that. And in Chelek Dalet, in Kuntos Sod Yesharim, he speaks about this following topic. Yom Yortzeit en lo gvul bashanim. Someone who has a Yortzeit, it's not limited by years. Again, it's Kuntos Sod Yesharim in Chelek Dalet, you'll find it. What does that mean? ואפילו אם יחיה הבן 100 שנים אחר פטירת אביו או אמו, צריך לעשות כל ימי חייו יום יורצייט, לנוחת אביו או אמו. Even if the son is, for example, living 100 years after the parent passed away, you should not think that the effect of the יורצייט is over. It's not true. It still has an effect, and they're still waiting for it up in the heavens, as we'll see. כנהוג בעניין הקדיש ונר וצדקה, just like the minhag is by kaddish and candle and by giving tzedaka ולימוד כפי יכולתו, and learning up until your capability. We'll see soon, after this, we'll speak about how much of an effect, a connection there is between the two, the child and the offspring and the family that passed away. מפני כי נפש האדם, אף הפי שנפטרה מהעולם הזה, even though the person passed away in this world, וניצולה מכל עונש ונכנסה לגן עדן. Even if a person passes away and is in Gan Eden, אינו קונה שלמות העליות שלה בפעם אחת. So this is Ben Ish Chai, and I guess this is like one of those you had to be there stories, but we'll have to take his word for it, and hope not to find out until after 120. So this is Ben Ish Chai, that a person passes away and goes into Gan Eden, it's not like you just walk into a car that you pick up from a dealer, and you're finished. You go in, and there's levels. You're actually on your process there. It's part of a growth process. Ela ole ba'adragot bizmanim chalukim. There are different times that the neshama, the soul of the person, will grow, will elevate itself. V'yesh neshama she'afilu ad 1,000 shanim lo tagia lechol ha'malot shel ha'aruya elia. There are certain souls, neshamot, that even after 1,000 years will still not get to their awaited place. ועולה במשך השנים עלייה אחר עלייה, and every year it goes up a little bit more, עד שתגיע לתכלית המעלה הראויה לה, until it gets to the point where it is designated for it. 1,000 years, the neshama could have passed away. To us, it's so foreign. We're the generation that's USB and everything is instant and microwaves and the whole set of ATM machines and everything has to be on the spot. Nothing in our life takes more than a few minutes. Everything we could do in a few minutes. Shopping, you could do in a few minutes. This, the concept of 1,000 years, of a neshama being in a waiting room or still in the growth process, you know, that's like a really long-term investment that we would not be interested in. But Nes Ben Ishchai, that's the way it works. A person doesn't go into their spot right away. They have stages. וכבר מצינו שעיד רבנו רב חיים ויטל על רבנו אריזל שהיה עושה יום יארצייט לאביו לומר קדיש בשביל עלייה לאביו. As we saw in the Ben Ishchai, the רב חיים ויטל testified in the אריזל that he used to make a יארצייט. אף על פי שבאותו זמן שראו מרב חיים ויטל היה יותר מ-30 שנה משנפטר אביו. Even though the אריזל was doing a יארצייט for his father, was 30 years already after he had passed away. So what are you saying Kaddish for? He should be in a spot already, no? כי אביו נפטר ביותו קטן, הוא כזכר בעמק המלך, the Arizal's father passed away when he was young. As we know, the Arizal was raised by his uncle in Egypt. That's how he became acquainted also with a lot of the minhagim of the Sfaradim, until he ended up accepting upon himself the derech and the psak of the Sfaradim. We spoke about numerous times that Arizal used to pray what we have in front of us today called Edot Mizrach. That was his sidur. That's the nosach. What is called today nosach Arizal is not what he used to pray. It's a put together of things, but that's not the nosach that he was holding in his hand when he was praying. He prayed Edot Mizrach. וידוע כי אביו של רבנו אריזל היה צדיק וחסיד גדול. His father was a tzaddik and a chassid. ונגלה אליו אליהו נביא זכור לטוב. And Eliyahu Navi revealed himself to the Arizal's father. So in a sense, what the Ben Ishchai is saying, what do you need to say Kaddish for him if, I mean, you're talking about such a person. ואם כל זה, כל ימיו של רבנו אריזל היה נוהג במנהג של יום יארצייט בשביל אביו. Every year, the Arizal would say yorzeit for his father. והיינו תיימה בשביל האלוי שיתעלה במדרגה לאנדרגה. Because of what we're saying now, that every year, or at certain times, the Ben Ishchai says, there are times that they let the neshama go up another stage. The neshama is waiting, and at a certain point, they let him go up another stage, and another stage. נמצא אין גבול לזה. There is no limit. אלא כל ימיו של הבן צריך לנהוג ביום יורצייט למנוחת אביו. As long as the son is alive, the son should do what we had mentioned for Menuchat Aviv. The same thing is for grandparents or any family member. If you know that it's a family member, that people are not necessarily adherent to mitzvot and not saying Kaddish or something to that extent, then you do have a mitzvah to do something l'nishmato. You could learn Mishnayot l'nishmato. And that has an effect. וגם, דע כי מלבד העילוי שהיה לנפש האדם אחר שנכנס לגן עדן, הנה עוד יהיה לנפשו דין ומשפט בכל פעם שתעלה מדרגה. It says the Ben Ishchai, furthermore you should know, not only is this stage concept, this also takes place, but every time there's a changeover from one stage to the next stage higher, there's another judgment that takes place. They rejudge the person to know if he's worthy to go into the next stage up. כמו שביאנו, שביא רב חיים ויטל בסבר הכוונות. Right? So that's the, you see, the importance, says the Ben Ishchai, of how much a person's actions are so important and they can affect actually for many, many years afterwards. Ad elef shana, says the Ben Ishchai. Now, to further stress this point, I want to bring a story here about Marie Belev. Who is the Marie Belev? The Marie Belev, the Chida says that there were three people that were worthy to write the Shulchan Aruch. Imagine that. The Shulchan Aruch, the most powerful and influential tool of halakha that we have, that the Jewish nation has, is the Shulchan Aruch. There were three people, only three people that were ra'u to write this. One is Rav Chaychik, one is Rav Yosef Karo, who ended up writing it, and Rav Mari Ben Lev. The Bet Yosef quotes him. It's a story about Mari Ben Lev, and it really shows us the connection that there is between previous generations and their offspring. I'm going to read it off. It says the story as follows. The Mari Belev was a dayan. He had a court, and he was the avbed din of his court. He was the head posek of his court, and he used to take cases in front of him. Now, one time, the Mari Belev had a psak din. That means he ruled against someone that was a very, very influential person in his community. And you're going back about how many years? 600 years ago, something to that extent. And this person was very influential in the community, was very powerful, he was very wealthy. And the Mari Belev was posek against him. There was a monetary dispute between two people. Mari Belev said, this person is wrong and this person is right, like a dayan has to do. He can't be biased. He said what has to be said. Now, this influential person bumped into Mari Belev on the street. And he walks up to Mari Belev and he was all fuming. He was angry. He takes his hand and he slaps Mari Belev in the street, in front of the whole congregation. And nobody said anything. Nobody said anything. The Mari Belev immediately sat down on the floor and tore kiriyah. He ripped his clothes. And he said, Shomu Shamay Mazot. He said, there's a terrible thing happened today. The fact that the Torah was desecrated and nobody said anything to such an extent, so a terrible thing happened. That night, there was a person who walked into his store with a candle. He had like a fragrance store. And he should check up on what's going on. And he sees a rat. So he's chasing the rat and he reaches out to grab the rat. And the candle starts his store on fire. And his whole store gets caught up on fire. His whole store gets up on fire, catches on fire, and the fire spreads throughout all the Jews, that night, throughout all the Jews of the community. 5,000 houses were burnt that night. 5,000 houses were burnt that night. And the toll of the people that died was 314. Exactly coinciding with the name of the Almighty, Shin Dalet Yud. Also, it's Gematria Shin 314. 314 people died that night. 5,000 houses were burnt. Now, that's how the story goes. Fine. So, a few hundred years later, about 300 years later, there was a Rav in Sloniki. His name is Rav Pinchas Michael. He was a Rav in Sloniki, and he had a dream. Now, what happened in his dream is it was on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur, he's sleeping, and he dreams that a man comes to him, a person comes to him, im hadrat panim. Hadrat panim means he has this like whole statuesque look to him. And with a very like angelic type of person comes to him. Babitol lai nirtati. When I saw this person, he says I was taken aback. I took a step back. I saw the holiness of this person. And he says to him, Malcha nirdam, this tzaddik that came to my dream, says, what are you sleeping? Get up. Your Almighty is calling you. So he woke up. And he realized it was only a dream. And, it was only a dream. He didn't take it too seriously. He went back to sleep afterwards. And then this person came to him again in a dream. And he said to him, don't think this is just a dream. This is the real thing that's happening. And he said to him, Havei mipashpesh b'ma'asecha. You should delve into your deeds because you have some atoning to do. He says to him, Ki ani meshulach me'olam ha'elyon. I am sent from the heavens to specifically speak to you. So he says to him, this rabbi says to him, he says, I don't understand. What are you sent to me for? What's going on? And again he woke up at that point. So he has this dream, this tzaddik comes to him, I'm sent to you from the upper world. Nothing. On Yom Kippur, he was awakened by this sense of tshuva, and he was crying like he says he never cried before. He was crying like he never cried before. His whole essence was taken over on Yom Kippur. And he didn't know where it came from. Now, on Shmini Atzeret, after Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, everything passes. Shmini Atzeret, he's sleeping in his sukkah. He falls asleep in his sukkah. And again, this person comes to him with white clothes. And again, he sees how he looks and how angelic he looks and his whole influence. And he realizes he's a very holy person. And he says, and the tzaddik says to him, you should know that the fact that you cried on Yom Kippur and the fact that you did tshuva, it gave you merit that from the heavens they allowed me to come down to this world to you and tell you to nullify the decree that's placed upon you. So nullify the decree that's placed upon me from the upper spheres. What's going on over here? I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you want from me? I don't understand what's going on over here. He kept quiet. The tzaddik kept quiet, and both of them were silent in the dream. And he started crying in his dream immensely. And he said, "Lo yadati ma chetaz. I don't know what I did wrong. What are you talking about?" And he said, "This is such a bad thing that they sent messengers from the heavens to come to tell me to nullify the decree." He said, "What decree?" So this time, he says, "I woke up and I realized it wasn't just a dream, but something's going on over here." Now, again he goes back to sleep, and this time he comes to him and says, the tzaddik comes to him and says, "How many times am I going to have to come here and make inconvenience myself in order to save you?" So he says to him, he goes to him, "In the merit of all the Torah that I learned," the tzaddik says to him, the rabbi says to him, "In the merit of all the Torah that I learned, the Tanaim and the Amoraim and the Rishonim, everybody I learned and I'm toiling them, I want their zchut to stand up and you have to tell me what you're sent to tell me. What is going on?" He says to him as follows. He says, "Come with me into a certain room." He takes him into a room and he describes the room as being this room with visions that he's never seen before. And he tells him, "Come sit down on this chair." And he says to him, "Look, years ago, I'm Marie Berlev. And years ago, I was sitting on a judgment. And I was posek, I ruled against a certain person. And two people came to me and I ruled against him that he was chayav. So this person was a person didn't want to listen to what I had to say. He didn't want to listen to what the Torah had to say. And he was very upset, a very forceful person. And when I told him to be careful about how he's acting, he came, he waited for me outside, as we said, and he slapped me on my face. And he says to him, this slap that he did to me, what he slapped me, is still etched on his bones all these years. That sin that he did is still etched on his bones all these years, and he still has not been able to clean himself and get into the place that he's supposed to be. So now you are an offspring of him. You're an offspring of him, and you have to make that tikkun. You have to fix up what he has done." So then he was shocked. And you have to understand, you know how many years are taking place between Marie Ben Lev and this Rav? He says to him, it was over 300 years since this person had passed away. Over 300 years, and still the person was not able to clean this sin. So they came to him and they said to him, "You have to fix up what your family member did wrong so that you could clean him." So he says, "What should I do to clean it? What could I do to save it? What do I know how to do? I don't know how to deal with these things." He says, "Look, you have to go to a certain Rav who lives in a certain city, and you have to buy my Shelot, which wrote my books that I wrote, and you have to study them till you know them clearly. Verbatim, you have to know them clearly." So he says to him, "When do I get your books?" You have to get them specifically from that rabbi, reason from that rabbi, because that rabbi also did something wrong. And this is going to be atonement for him, because he was supposed to put out certain books, Sifre Torah, certain books of Torah, and he never did it. He has them in writing, he never did it. So when you buy the books from him, that's going to give him the money to do it, and that's going to fix his issue. And you yourself have to study these books. How long do I have? You should study them for 4 years until you know them clearly, and then that'll fix up what I said. So he woke up, and now he knew what he was supposed to do. But in the meantime, you know, one thing leads to another, and we sort of get into the string of life, and he was procrastinating until his wife got sick. His wife was very, very sick. And he knew that this was, you know, it was connected to what he had. And the Mari Bar Lev came to him and said to him, Tida, shezoi azhara achrona shani mazricha. This is the last time that I'm warning you. V'chol izugatcha, the reason your wife is sick is because you have been lazy about doing what I told you to do. Therefore, what you should do is to go to that rabbi and you should acquire the books and study them. And immediately the next day, obviously he woke up and got in touch with that rav and acquired the books. And his wife got healthy. And mistama, the sin that person did a few hundred years back was taken care of. But clearly we see here from what we're learning in the Ben Ish Chai that a person has a strong connection to his family members, especially, even could be hundreds of years back. And it could be that things that we encounter or tests that a person goes through or a Kiddush Hashem that we do is a fixing up process of that. Who would have thought that 300 years later, by this person learning the books of the Mari Bar Lev, that fixes his offspring, that's his family member that sinned 300 years back? Who would have thought of such a connection? But in Shemayim, they have a very good accountant, and he knows exactly where everything is going, and no problems with overload, and therefore everything is mechushban. But we started in the Ben Ish Chai, we concluded with the Halachot of Kaddish, to understand the importance of Kaddish. We spoke about in the introduction how much of a, how severe it is to talk in Kaddish, and how much respect we have to give it, and the effect it has. And now, we have an understanding of the connection that it has to the family members. V'chudeh.